For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini. My guest today is the author John Keeble. Keeble is the author of 6 novels, including his most recent, The Appointment, The Tale of Adeline Carson, which was published by Lynx House Press earlier this year. In addition to his fiction, Keeble is also the author of the nonfiction book, Out of the Channel, The Exxon Valdez Oil Spill in Prince William Sound, which grew out of Keeble's reporting on that disaster for The Village Voice. His writing has been nominated for the Pulitzer Prize and was recently awarded an O. Henry Award for his short story Synchronicity, which was published in Harper's Magazine in 2017. Keeble has also been an educator for more than 4 decades and in 1978 helped found the MFA in Creative Writing program at Eastern Washington University, where he now serves as Professor Emeritus. John Keeble, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you very much.
So your new book, The Appointment, is a fictionalized account of the life of Adeline Carson, who is the daughter, or was the daughter, of the famous mountain man and frontiersman, Kit Carson. So what first got you interested in writing about Adeline Carson?
I was interested in Kit Carson as a kid. My family moved from Canada to the United States, and I developed a fascination with all things Western then. And I grew up and I just continued my interest. I wanted to write a book about Kit Carson, but there's plenty of books about him.
Yeah.
So I wrote one about his imaginary daughter. She's imaginary because virtually nothing is known about her.
Yeah, but she's not she was a real person.
She was a real person, born in 1 of 2 years and died in 1 of 2 years. So there's not much known about her, but I've portrayed her as a literary figure, a literary character, a person who was highly literate, is what I'm trying to say, whereas her father was illiterate. And so whatever is known about him is also secondhand.
This book, you know, many readers will recognize sort of the world around it because it is essentially the world of Westerns.
Right.
And so it's, you know, that period of the middle of the 19th century where it's cowboys and Indians and mountain men and gold miners. But the book itself avoids a lot of those Western tropes. So Sean Vestal has a blurb on the back of the book that I think puts it perfectly. He says that the book is nothing like the pale monochromatic versions of our mythologies with their cowboy heroes and simple moralities, but one that is peopled with a rich multicultural cast of characters drawn from those whose lives have so often been unwritten and unknown. So my question is, how aware were you of either playing into or pushing back against those sort of Western stereotypes when you were writing this book?
Oh, I was very aware of it because I was very aware of, I like the term that you use, pushing back. I wanted to push back against it, and it was a time when hundreds of thousands of Indians were essentially exterminated. And so I wanted to deal with that.
Well, let's, before we chat too much more, get a short section of reading from this book. So one of my favorite parts of the book is when she's with Pablo, who is a completely fictionalized character, I understand, who is basically a love interest of Adeline's before she's married off. And it creates this conflict of, you know, should I do what my father expects of me and marry this quote unquote good man?
Right.
Or should I follow my heart and, you know, marry this sort of laborer?
Yeah. And Adeline's afraid of her father and Pablo's afraid of her father. So they back off on the relationship at a critical moment.
Yeah. But first they have this sort of liaison into the night on Easter weekend, which maybe you could read part of that.
Okay. The Friday following, Good Friday, they stole away down the paseo, the animals' clopping hooves softly breaking the quiet. They turned westward at the church, past the Hacienda Martinez, and proceeded to the brink of the canyon from where they could hear the day's first rooster crows behind them. They descended into the canyon on a trail that traced its edge, coming out to the Rio del Norte which had engorged its banks because of the mountain thaw. Pablo knew of a wide place not far upstream, whereupon they discovered the banks littered with boulders, driven down by high water. Pablo tied his mule to a willow, motioned to Adeline to do the same with Hawk, removed his poncho, and said, "First we have to cross halfway on foot, seeking the river's permission." Adeline removed the poncho Pablo had brought for her, her moccasins, and the belt to which she'd attached her holster, to keep her navy coat snug against the small of her back. When Pablo caught sight of the pistol, he smiled. In the scabbard, he had an old hawken, he said, had belonged to his father. She rolled up her trousers and followed his steps into the river. They picked their way along the rock shelves, the brutally cold current tugging at Adeline's legs. She could hear the rocks bouncing along the bottom, and several times they knocked against her ankles. As they neared the center, the river deepened to her thighs, but after a few steps grew shallower. Pablo talked and turned back. "Bien, the animals will make it." They returned and rode across without incident. They ascended a precipitous jackknifing trail that scaled a basalt bluff. Finally, they attained a mesa from which they caught sight of far-off mountains to the southwest, and in between more mesas and pyramid-shaped formations. They continued westward, going side by side. Her legs, chilled by the river, now felt warm from pressing against Hawk, and the sun rose above the Sangre de Cristos from behind to warm her back through the poncho. Pablo's straight-spined mule maintained a level parallel to whatever incline the earth took, and Pablo easily kept his balance, his poncho draped over his knees. To one side swayed the scabbard. Adeline was struck by how much in command Pablo was now that they were removed from the hacienda, and older, too, and how handsome.
That was my guest, John Keeble, reading from his new novel, The Appointment, The Tale of Adeline Carson, who was the real-life daughter of Kit Carson, the famous mountain man and frontiersman. I mentioned that section is sort of her little romantic fling that then she chooses to give up in favor of following her father's wishes.
Right. Fling is kind of a strange word. I think it's a romantic feeling that she carries with her all the way to the end.
Yeah, which, so she ends up carrying a little cross that she's given by Pablo all the way through, which of course is an entirely fictionalized part of this, that she held this sort of lost love with her. So was that just sort of an invention of needing to make her a romantic inner life or a tragic character?
Fiction has its own necessities, and once you start out, you build on what you've started. So long as you don't go back and cut it and start over. But every time you do something in a fiction, it creates its own necessity. And so it was necessary for her to have this on her person. That's one of the things that's really mysterious about fiction, how it creates its own necessities and begins to feel real to the writer and hopefully to the readers as well.
And it seems to me that this book in particular, and probably all historical fiction that deals in some way with real historical events, has sort of two masters. One is the necessities of fiction, like you said, and the other is the necessities of the history. So
that's right. That's good. That's very good.
how did you how closely do you feel like you had to stick to the facts as little as they were known, and how much could you sort of allow the fictional necessities to develop?
The facts provided the context for the fictionalized life of Adeline. And everything that's written about Kit Carson in it is based upon factual events. So by and large accurate, and it provides the context or the setting for this fictional life.
You make a note at the end, yet there's an author's note where you talk about a few of these things about weaving in the facts and those kinds of things.
I felt obliged to do that.
Yeah. And you also touch on the difficulty of a modern white male author writing from the perspective of a young half Arapaho woman who lived over 150 years ago. Mm-hmm. So how did you attempt to overcome that challenge and really inhabit this character?
In the way we've been talking, by letting her story unfold on its own and putting as little of myself as possible. Hmm. I should say also, when I began writing this, there was the Me Too movement did not exist. Hmm. That the Me Too movement cropped up during the later stages of the book, although certainly women's rights was an issue, mm-hmm. but it wasn't as hot an issue as it has become. I think the fear of being accused of appropriating Native culture mm-hmm. was more difficult in a telling thing for me than the women's movement. I think that the writer is obliged to go out into the world and to write about things besides himself, mm-hmm. to learn from his writing and to learn from experiences that he could not have had or she could not have had. I just think, I know some people may disagree with this. In fact, I know of a couple people who do disagree with it. But I think it's true that you have to go out.
Yeah.
So you take chances.
Yeah. Well, my guest has been John Keeble. He is the author of many books of fiction and nonfiction, short stories, novels, and nonfiction. And his most recent book is The Appointment, The Tale of Adeline Carson, which has just been published by Lynx House Press. John Keeble, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.